then if you try and analyze figures and hopefully without mentioning too many of them, because it might get a bit confusing. And I presume when the at a later stage maybe the table can be forwarded to the members. Thank you. What we've done is we've looked at we've compared the spending of the past previous 3 years, from 2003 to 2005, against the growth of the budget for the 2007 medium term expenditure framework. And what we do is we then we work out the real growth rate, which is the growth rate in spending or the budget, with the effects of inflation stripped out of them, so that they are directly comparable, and try and look at the first thing we do is just look at provincial government spending, and for example, over the past 3 years, the average growth rate has been around about 5%. So that, in a sense, is the benchmark. If a growth rate in department spending or a program is higher than that, we assume that it has been prioritized. And then we can compare that against various policy priorities that governments in general and the education departments in specific have set for themselves. And then we can ascertain and work out whether the sector or the program has been prioritized relatively or not. So in the first instance, education has been growing at 4.4%, and that's slightly lower than the average. That trend continues through into the budget for 2007. Education is projected to grow 2.8%, which is quite a lot less than the 4.1% projected for provincial spending as a whole. So on that basis, one could argue that the education department was not growing as fast as average. We go in a little bit deeper and we have a look at what's happening with personnel, what's happening to training expenditure, and what's happening to capital, that's investment in infrastructure, primarily school buildings, classrooms, putting infrastructure into the school, as well as machinery and equipment. And what we noticed here is that, first of all three of those items over the past 3 years have been declining in real terms. So expenditure on personnel has been declining. Although in fact the number of staff of education departments or provincial education departments is rising, that suggests that it's more new graduates that are coming in that have been employed. The data that we have on training is very patchy, so we don't put too much confidence on the figures, but it indicates that training at least at 5 provincial departments for its staff has been declining over the past 3 years. And then the same goes for capital, spending on infrastructure has also been declining. That's the past performance. If we look at the future, projected growth. Again, personnel and training expenditures growing less than the average for the department, but the budget for capital infrastructure is growing quite high, about 9%. The next issue that we analyzed is to look down at some of the programs. I mean, most of what the education department spending is on public ordinary schools is the bulk of that's 84% of the entire budget. It's been growing at roughly the same rate as the budget as a whole, and that makes sense, the biggest component. So over the past 3 years, 4.6% has been the growth rate in spending on schools, and for the budget next budget this year, 2.8%. Early childhood development was deprioritized. Growing lower than average over the past 3 years has been given somewhat more priority at 7% for the next 3 years. Adult basic education was prioritized at 9% over the past 3 years and is now growing some participants had been prioritized, that's appropriate. But I think we think further education is a result of being prioritized, and the budget study became that. Finally, we look at the primary school nutrition grant, which is the biggest conditional grant in the education department. That was growing very rapidly at over 8% over the past 3 years, and is now projected to grow at quite a low rate of about 1.8%. That's below the department average and the average for provincial governments as a whole. That's the comparison then of how the past 3 years spending has compared to the budget for the next 3 years, and with whether what has been prioritized is reflected in the budget or not. The second part of the presentation reviews underspending or overspending over the past 3 years. Education is underspending rate is pretty low, about 0.8%, well below the 5%, which is more the general problem. Spending on personnel, underspending on personnel, very low indeed. On training is quite high, about 16%, and if the national growth strategy just so on are important, then understanding is quite high. About 12.5% for capital, which is also quite high. Then the public ordinary schools and some of the smaller programs, the ones that stand out, spending about 10% of the past 3 years for early childhood development, about 5% for adult basic education, and then it's lower for further education and the schooling system. On the primary school nutrition growth, it stands at 5.3%. Thank you.
Turning to the DG Education.
Thank you, Chairman, and sorry, we're just trying to make sense of that data, but I think it's just probably a simple introduction. Chair, thank you for the opportunity to present, and if I can just indicate, we do have a number of our provincial colleagues with us. In particular, we have the MEC for Education from the Interface, McCarthy, from the Mpumalanga Department, Chikadi, Chikadi, and from Pointon Town, the acting head of department services for our team, which support together with some of their staff. Chair Northwest, and they're not able to be addressed, and that's the hope that we are hoping that the Chair, as I understand it, the focus today is really on two particular issues, and that's the commercial grant side of things. And two big ones that have been running for a number of years program, together with the HIVA's bicycle program. The MEC College grant has only come on stream this year, and we have to really analyze the trends around those. Chair, I would want the provinces perhaps to talk a little bit of detail, but I also my chief financial officer who would be able to find the detail from the national perspective. But I think I would want to do two things, Chair. One is obviously to emphasize the importance of these programs. Your letter invited us to try and convince yourself and your committee as to why these conditional grants should not be dropped in some way. And I think we just have to appeal to the committee to understand the critical importance, in particular, of the school nutrition program. That at the moment is feeding in excess of 5 million children on a daily basis. It's not as extensive as we'd like it to be. Our number of school days is a little less than the total number of school days a year. So one of the things we want to look at is ending the number of days that we've fed. We don't think as yet that we've reached a level where it can honestly be called a school nutrition program. Some have referred to it more as a school feeding program, and I think you'll understand the difference. It is important to feed our children, to feed them well as well. So more and more we are trying to improve the quality of the food stuffs that have been provided. And of course now we're under some pressure to look at the possibility even of expanding the school nutrition program, in particular to our secondary schools. There's obviously a lot of emphasis still on the So Chair, certainly under the school nutrition program, I would have to say that the importance of the program is such that we cannot afford to invest in more impact. And perhaps to simply say, where there are issues of management and perhaps mismanagement, it's our responsibility, both as a national department, but together with our provincial colleagues, to try and address those issues of management and to ensure that the program is indeed making good use of the funds provided to ensure that our children are properly cared on a daily basis. So we would certainly take that responsibility if they could be announced. The second one is the HIV-AIDS program. In fact, it's one that we've had for longer as a department, even in the school nutrition program. This is a life skill program. People have given more than one occasion, education at the moment, the only vaccine that we have for HIV-AIDS. And it really is really important that our young learners do get exposed to issues of HIV-AIDS, prevention issues in particular. And, Chair, I do believe that some of the latest information is suggesting that attitudes and behaviours of our 19 to 24-year-olds are changing. And we can only hope that as part of this improvement HIV and AIDS high school program, that children are becoming more conscious of these. So, Chair, we would also want to make the case that this is a program that quite simply we cannot afford to cut and Chair, I think the second thing then I would want to put on the table is that our budgeting processes as well as our accounting processes have become, I believe, a lot more refined and a lot more rigorous over the last while. Last year, or rather this financial year, for the first time, we've been able to engage in what in terms of budget standards. We have gone province to province and worked with them in the preparation of their budgets for the coming year. Really trying to ensure two things. One is that things are properly budgeted for. We have instances before where certain allocations have been made that have been covered across the program. So one is to ensure that there is sufficient in that regard. But that more importantly changes that we work with provincial colleagues to ensure that the national priorities that are agreed on are indeed properly budgeted for and that those submissions are being made to provincial treasury. And I do understand, Chair, that there has been significant improvement as a result of this. If you look at some of the MTF figures for the next period, you will see that I think as MTF has indicated, some of the real priority areas, issues like EDE, which have been, neglected over the past few years, have shown a substantial increase over the next while. We've seen quick growth in the areas of ABET, those sort of things. So, Chair, I think we've assisted the provinces and I think they might also confirm that in their dealings they present a much clearer picture and therefore being able to secure the type of funding they want. Chair, what this means is that any adjustment to the proposed budget for the provinces, including adjustments to even the conditional grant shares that they might be receiving, would ultimately, I think we can say quite clearly, there is a cap on this budget. Any adjustment certainly be to the decline of program delivery, it would have no doubt a negative impact on the program, and probably then mean that some of the national priorities that have been there we would be unable to achieve. So, Chair, it's on that basis, I think, that we're going to appeal to you in your committee, not only to consider leaving the particular conditional grants untouched, but if there is any possibility to achieve growth in these figures, certainly we would commit ourselves to ensure that the management of these is there to expect it to be this properly done and that we ensure that we do deliver on everything. Chair, let me pause there and give the strongest of what you'd like to build on the top of our
team. Thank you very much, Mr. Hill. I'm happy because you're committing your management to ensuring that everything in our power to ensure that these things are done properly. And I think that's the kind of spirit of discussion we want to hear with that. Because essentially what we were trying to say is that let's pull ourselves up. So if anybody has any confidence to pull themselves up, what do you do with that?
man.
Then I'm coming to province. I'm taking province. I'm discussing province one by one. Did you want to raise a question, Mr.?
No, sure. I thought, these things, before you deal with the issue, it's the context that we should be, dealing. Because the HOD is thinking from the level of national requirements. And one would have, nutrition would have wanted, to collaborate what is being put across by, the HOD with the province environment. So that you deal with the holistic issues. It's only my proposal. Because to deal with it outside and disjointed, it may create indeed some challenges. Because I may have now to fill the questions that could have been, in some way answered. If I were to make my input without people losing the input made by the HOD of Department of Education. Thanks.
You know what, the point is that he's got to answer for his own sin. The HOD national and the national department. And you've got to answer for your own sin. But we are not losing the integration issues, essentially. Let me show you one of the issues, for instance, that always comes from provinces, health departments. Late approval of business plans by national department. And so those issues really need to be engaged with. But if members feel we need to proceed in the direction you are raising, I have no problem. But I was just saying he must also face his own music. And then you also face your own music. Done?
Yes, thank you very much. I agree that you wish to want to go, but also in regarding of the national department that you lead, and I'm very glad that he could let himself to say, yeah, this committee is taking this understanding very, very seriously. And I was in my province last this week to brief them, and I said the total of money was given to them in their hands to have service delivery in all departments. And the commitment from their side, and we will hear this from the provinces, that I'm glad that the national agency commits him and his management. So if in future, the first quarter, let I say that when we come and report in the first quarter, and there's no real achievement in the provinces, you will also account for what is going on down there. Because I think he indicated that we will give every support in regarding of this process of service delivery. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. No questions? For the HOG? All right, there are none. Mr. Fokwan, questions, comments?
Yeah, so thank you very much, Chair. And we must appreciate I think that in line tell us with what my colleague is saying. I appreciate what the DG is saying, but also the new approach of ensuring that the national department takes the provincial department on each and every step. Because the problem that we face with, and from where we are sitting, what we observe is that the problem is with claims in many of the programs of the department. We find that on the other side, government is doing everything to improve the conditions of the people on the ground, but the difficulty is with the spending of now that are made available to the province. Now, to us, the question is whether the planning is proper and whether the monitoring of that planning is also proper. Now, the PG says they have step by step moved with the province. And for now, Chair, we can only appreciate that there is that. But my colleague says, yeah, the proof of the book is in the PG. But also hoping that issues like the capacity, in problems of the people talking about capacity, whether capacity is not necessarily from the Department of Education, but if capacity, for instance, Department of National if the Department of Education across the province, they are allocated funds to build schools, and those schools sometimes are problems, whether it's with the tender processes or what. Now, the issue for us at the end is capacity within the Department of Education. Because the Department of Education must deliver the school. If the Department of Public Works or somebody else has not built the school, it's not really the responsibility of that department, it's the responsibility of the allocation of the Department of Education. So then we assume that from other PCs we say that those things have been looked at. But also the issue of your HIDA spending on those what you call the area. But I think that they have been leaving much to be desired, the question of spending some provinces, for instance, saying where they can't spend. The reason for understanding is as being because this fund can only be spent over weekends. Now, our understanding of the school program is that it starts from Monday to Friday. Now, if they become activists, they work over the weekend, it's really appreciated. But the result is that the money is not spent as a result of that. But also, it's around around coordination of ECD. You know, ECD, I think in many areas, is a new program that is being evolved. But if there could be just a tighter coordination around that, so that I don't go to housing or to my constituency and find that one district is posting different from the other. And up to now, I think that it has been the case, but there has not been normal standards that like what the COVID emphasize on the issue of these normal standards. You find that it's not necessary in many instances. It's not the person. Maybe I think that that's a general comment that what works. In the past financial year, I think that there was a lot of resources were put to MET to recapitalize. I think that it was appreciated. But some got lost, some. Because the provinces, for instance, complained that they were not involved in this. Resources were directly made available to MET. Now, we made for for the problem is we create a critical for problem to money. The expenditure occurs. And in many instances, when you ask for accounting of this, because the province is stating that so much has been transferred, not spent. And if you look at the expenditure, for instance, one would hope that if it was a new experience, one would hope that now there will be lessons that will be left from what was done from the previous year, in order to ensure that those resources are there. But also, the issue of the experience and the capacity at the FTC, that's not sure whether it is built for. There are many students out there who are not able to make it, for instance, to university due to lack of points and what, but also are not able to access FTCs because FTCs themselves are not sure in terms of making that is available to the students so that they can deal with the capacity. Somewhere, there has been what you call the health complaints that well, people are not receiving the service. It's difficult to, one is still investigating that to be sure that does it affect few people or if it is something that is common across, but such complaints have been raised. In the process of wanting to build skills, to create skills in this country, I think that it will be very, it will be necessary to ensure that data are made available to students so that they can acquire the skills. Thank you.
Okay. Let me just say, Coach, do you have any implementing challenges of DOCA so far? I think that's the only question for me. Now, one of the things that we want to raise with you is one, together with your own colleagues, if you are able to work on clear and implementable business plan. Now, part of the thing we picked up about 2 weeks ago is the credibility of the business plan. And in some cases, for instance, there's potential overspending, then it tells you a story that clearly the projections or even the business plan is not very good. So that I think it's something that we're very pleading for from your side as a national department, just ensure that these business plans are very clear, the projections are reasonable and credible. The issues of tire supporting, especially from the province to yourself, I think it's a matter that you must face you vigorously. Thirdly, there's a matter that also came up sometimes that the midstream of changes to business plans. I think it's a matter that I think must also receive your special attention so that it does not create problems. And I think finally we agree with you that everything possible must be done to ensure that these programs become a success. In other words, learners should not be made to go hungry. Yes, money. In other words, everything possible must be done to ensure that learners are fed. But in so doing, you must also not compromise the quality of these things. I've heard some people talking about fast-tracking this and fast-tracking that and fast-tracking that. So we say, from where we sit, we want to see a clear program that seeks to address these things. Especially my colleague says in the very first quarter. So that there must be a nice balance between
spending and delivery, but also the quality of those things clearly monitored, so that as we move, part of the things we want to avoid this time. You know what we see in this third quarter, for instance, we see something new. There's always been something called a March spike. Now there's a February spike. Now we're not sure exactly what caused that. So clearly it would be nice to see a curve that is kind of flatter than the hockey. I think from where we sit, we shall be monitoring carefully this trend. You will respond to some of the comments. Okay.
The last comments, maybe PG might have commented, but I think that I did agree. Is the issue that is it around the non-capital, non-personal, what you call it, matter. It doesn't seem as well. I'm not sure if there are norms and standards on that, or how Jane can do it, it lies, of course, KZM justifies on one. But I think that it would be very useful to ensure that around that there are resources, so that to ensure that our objective is realized.
Okay, now one of the last things we are going to raise, which is good in Doga now, the dedicated funding for school electricity. One of the things that we shall plead for from the side, and even a provincial colleague, is what GME says there is no credible data for schools that do not have electricity. Now it would be nice if you work in collaboration against that to ensure the number of schools that do not have electricity. So that in the very, very first quarter we must start to see some of the schools that have been electrified.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman, and thanks, honourable members, for those comments. Perhaps, Mr. Chair, to pick up on your last one, certainly we are working very closely with the Northern Energy Affairs on the issue of electrification. Although I must indicate that we have wanted to prioritise of that money that we can provide the issue of water rehabilitation. The school can exist without electricity, it should not exist without water and sanitation. So we've seen those as the first priority and then obviously to focus on the electrification. I can say, Chair, that we're in the final stages now of completing our national electronic information management system. It's an electronic audit of each and every school, so there'll be photographs, etc., of the school. In fact, if anybody anywhere wants to see a school, just to push the number of that school, it will call up all the details of that school, including the ground, electricity, the water, everything about it. And within the next month or two, Chair, we will have that audit certainly in place. And Chair, perhaps in the second to last comment around the non-personal, non-capital, we don't have national norms on those. We can't because they would then be hard norms. They would be impinging on provincial competency there. So what we do have, of course, is the distributive norms that ensure that the poorest receive the most, and those are certainly set in place. But I can indicate that the budget standards exercise I spoke about has started to bring about a greater degree of harmonisation on those non-personal, non-capital amounts, but I certainly cannot guarantee that at this stage every province pays the same non-personal, non-capital. That's in the provincial budget responsibility. Chair, just on the funding side, and I appreciate the comments certainly in regard to the planning, the monitoring stages. I do believe, and the provinces may confirm or deny this, Chair, that we certainly do work very closely with the provinces in terms of the planning and preparation for all our treasury bids, including those bids that are put forward for additional grants. And I think treasury, we do appreciate, has certainly got an approach now that is working well, that in the first year, like the MET VTAP, they gave us a particular allocation from the funding allocation, and then the big money came in the following year. So during that first year, which was the previous year, we were able to use that 50 million very consciously to plan what needed to be done in terms of college recap and the actual spending is happening during the course of this year. Chair, I accept that up until now the figures have looked relatively low, but all the provinces have confirmed to us that in fact the orders are in place for the recap expenditure, and certainly we would expect a high percentage of that grant to be spent this year. We've got a similar situation now with the ABET money that is coming on stream. It's not a conditional grant, but a lot of it will be used in provinces, where once again Treasury has given us 20 million rand to undertake the planning and preparatory exercise so that the huge literacy rollout can commence next year when we do have everything in place and well planned for. Chair, certainly the FET bursaries, there is 100 million rand this year for FET bursaries. The number, I believe, is some 20,000 students are receiving bursaries this year for FET colleges. That number will, that amount will double next year to 200 million. So we're certainly on track, I think, to double the number of students enrolled in FET colleges. We're very excited about the 20,000 this year. We have enrolled in the new National Certificate Education Program that are there. Chair, on the issue of the business plans, and we absolutely take the point about the need for them to be credible, there's no doubt, but just a little caution on the issue of the overspending. Some of the provinces will tell you that in fact their overspending was deliberate because they in fact have put their own money into these programs. So the school nutrition program, for example, those provinces that have now started feeding children in secondary school, that is their own money they're using. So it will look as though they have overspent their conditional grant, but let me assure you, Chair, that's not through mismanagement, it's actually a deliberate decision they've taken to in fact put further money into that pot and to feed more people as a result. Perhaps I think also, Chair, you would have picked up during the year under review that the conditional grant for the school nutrition around November of 2005, some 200 million was added to that particular conditional grant. Now that comes very late in the year, so when one talks about the credibility of business plan, obviously that forces provinces into review and a revision of those business plans to now accommodate that 200 million, and in some cases, of course, provinces did not manage to utilize that full amount. Perhaps this is a general point around the capacity question that was raised. We do note, obviously, that there have been instances of capacity within the department, and I believe largely we've addressed those. But some of this is also capacity outside of the government. If you think, for example, of the school building program, just recently we went out on tender for some 80 schools, 80 new schools to be constructed. In the end, we got compliant tenders for only about 20 of those schools. Quite simply, the private sector, the building industry, is not particularly interested at this stage in going to build a school and need to take somewhere. So it's not just our capacity, it's the capacity broadly of our society, and perhaps that's where our skills that was a little joke, Chair, you wouldn't jump. So, Chair, perhaps let me conclude then by saying, certainly we, I hesitate to say, pushing our head on the block, but probably we are anyway, it's there anyway. We will certainly, I believe, come to you with that first quarter report, and I would want you to see that, as you say, the spending is even. Perhaps if you make a little recognition that sometimes in education, because of the school calendar year, there is not always an even spending throughout the year. Personnel, for example, spikes up hugely in November, December, when we bring on all our matric marking staff and those sort of things. Early in the year, of course, we tend to spend a lot on LGSM delivery, that sort of thing. So you won't tend to find in provincial departments a completely even spending throughout the year, and sometimes indeed February, March is when the bulk of your LGSM and those sort of things are delivered. That's when we would expect a fair amount of expenditure to come through. But we would probably need to explain where that should happen and why. The Chair, I think I would want to close my time for this. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. That's very much clear. The 9-year step is very clear. I think we all have got some consensus just in terms of the line. Let me then take a...
No, I think there's not a serious one because the comment which was made unintentionally relatively. It says the province can overspend liberally, on the what you call the on the conditional track. And then I'm saying this all of the to add to this side, there are what you call it. There's no way that people should just ignore.
What you are saying is that because of the need, dire need, they did take a deliberate decision because there's also an innovation of going and feeding secondary schools. So that is what this is an unresolved matter, even at the national level, by the way. In other words, it is provinces that decided to compromise their equitable share. Look, it's a matter that is raising all of us all the time, that what these two learners, the one is at a primary school and the other one is at a secondary. So what he's saying is that the ex-co then took a decision and said, look, in view of this very dire need, we're dipping into our own equitable share, which really is not a very fundamental problem for now. But it's something that must find some way of being addressed. We did the plea, I think, last year with provinces to start talking to the FSC to look at a formula that would compensate for this problem. The huge challenge is necessary, how do we deal with this? And I think we would need to find a way of a structure process that talks to that matter. And I'm saying, look, because when this is affected, the AOD says, in fact, insofar as nutrition is concerned, they would want to expand to secondary schools, broadly from a national point of view. In other words, it shouldn't be a provincial initiative at best. In other words, it's going to be province by province now. But then the bottom line is that you would want a proper national setup, something. That's really not worth much for having about that now. It's not a big crisis with the border.
Yes. I would just want to one issue is rightly. If water is going to take in a school, and I would like if the great perhaps difficult to get the time frame when this school completed. I visited 12 schools with opening and 7 of them in the Poco app. There's no sanitation. There's no water. So actually the sanitation area, this bush for void, this one is for gold. And I mean, that, if you go to a school, how can learners report if that it happens? And I would like to know if there's a time frame to say by this time, more of it, we want to do, because this is a very, very, very serious issue in regard to it. There is also a commitment grant that the decision for school. When the school opened in April, I know there's a new financial year, that all schools will start from that first morning to get the training in schools. I know there's still now, but the schools are closing 27th of March, somewhere there's a school holiday, and then when the school starts, things must be in place. It's not waiting until 3 months, 2 months, or 3 weeks after that, because we have this problem, we have this problem, that must be in place. That's the point you made.
Thank you very much.
On the water sanitation, the government program of action commitment is that by the end of 2008, all schools will have adequate water sanitation.
Right, thank you, sir. Let us then take Mr. Mahato.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, when you are sitting in, a debate and you listen on something that I've been told, you begin to want to get into that. Because I would want, I would have liked to talk about the March of November 5th, but I've let it alone. But I would want the Select Committee also itself, not to confine itself within the doors of this, the world of this place. Precisely because it's easy to say
you know, number of schools without water, number of schools without sanitation. I'll give an illustration that you put a tent in a school. The tent is intended for children. But around the children, there is a village and nobody has water. Now, what then people do? Naturally, then they go and get the water from the school, when the school is done. When I visited one school, they were complaining precisely around that. And they were saying, we don't have a fence. And I don't think even the fence would be a deterrent, because the challenge is around. So when you practically go on the ground and you see what is happening, because even I was worried about northern standards, because, you know, you use counting and you begin to think that, you know, it will fit in where Mr. Sobodi originates from, not where he is. That becomes a challenge, because once you put in the northern standards, you know, that northern standards, we seem the same. You know, if you look at the service delivery improvement program, it does talk about Johnson standards, but if you take a school in town and the school in location, you would say probably you have to, you know, lift the school to the level of, you know, in town. But you take the school in the township and you take it with a school that is in the rural. So where does, you know, your Johnson standards come to? The defining thing would be, you know, what should you say the high school is? And then you begin to, you know, look at that and begin to say, indeed, a high school should have a laboratory, a high school should have a computer lab, a high school should have a science lab. But those things are lesser when it comes to, you know, the east side of the country. I mean, the east side of the province. You have a bench. That looks like, you know, a woodwork bench, and they tell you this is the leg. So I'm trying to say that, you know, it's nice sometimes, you know, to leave our comfortable shirts and we go to sleep. What is on the ground, and then we come and we talk the northern standards. You see, if, you know, those northern standards indeed would, you know, meet what the picture that we have. Chair, I want to premise this, you know, debate around, you know, the halving or whatever of, you know, the budget of nutrition. And say, let us build, Chair, on the presentation that you made, as if we are not starting. Because if you look at the figures that are there, included on the 206-07 figure, it's a suspended payment because of, you know, indication that is there. We are given 45 days by the indicators that are doing the forensic audit on the nutrition. And the premise that then I would want to move on is to begin to say that, you know, involved here is the right of the children to be the food. And that right is underpinned by the right to quality education. And indeed, there is a link between quality nutrition and, you know, school going, especially around the grade R, 1, 2, 3. When children, they don't get fed, they don't, you know, normally go to school. Now, added to that, the child headed home. And those child headed home, they do go to school, but you can understand that that child is at home. is indeed a challenge. And added to that, the children living with HIV/AIDS. And these are the people that we should, be giving the service to. But then, what then characterizes, the school nutrition program in the Eastern Cape? There has been a lack of involvement of the local community. There has been the problem of Batu Pili principle, as characterized by insensitive administration. Because currently, in the indication that we have, there is five of our senior officials that were expected to drive the school nutrition program, but as to date, they are suspended, and they are, having a disciplinary case, slapped on them. There is collusion between administration, suppliers, and service providers. This is what is on the ground. But having said that, what is it then that we intend to do? There is a collaboration that we have started between ourselves and, service social development, department, as well as to look at the nutrition part. We bring in health into it. We are putting qualitative as well as quantitative measures into it. Because in terms of the act, Section 63, the executing authority is expected to look at the Section 39.2 as well as the 44.3 report. And the 39.2 only speaks to finances. But because of the challenges that are there, we then intend to bring in the non-financial information instead of, living at the quarter the way you were talking. Because that quarter is made up of three, reports. So on the month of April, we should then be reporting also, on the non-financial. That is, what is in other ways, what have been the deliverance? That's the non-financial information that we will be looking at. So it is then our considered view, Chair, that given the remedial that we're pushing on faith, and of course the challenges that we have currently, around us in a way having to put a 48-hour tender just as a stop measure. To say we would want to put this so that at the opening of the school, we're able at least to feed a basic food to the children. And when it ends at the end of the 6 months, then we will put in a food, a full program. And one feels encouraged that, it seems to be sleeping and coming through fast and furious, the issue that, begin to look at extending this feeding of the children. Because there is no way that you can explain, two children in different lands coming from the same home without the food. And you begin to look at that and say, the other one will get fed and the other one will not get fed. Because it does create in the mind of the child that I'm not seen in the same light as my sister or my brother, but we indeed come from the same home. It is then our considered view, then, Chair, as the Eastern Cape Department of Education, that there is a need fundamentally to redesign the entire SNP in the Eastern Cape. and to ensure that you know, we also will be monitoring a level of the program that we will take to, you know, expand and ensure that we build the necessary capacity in terms of you know, the people that are going to, you know, administer this, the people that expected to do the service labor, and ensure also that, which is very prevalent, that people would, you know, pollute and submit an invoice without doing the thing. And we're placed, because of the distances also shared, in terms of people delivering, you know, bread, that bread is delivered for 2 days. And people are expected, you know, to, and the reports that we're getting of molded bread, precisely because people don't have the storage. So those are the challenges that we're facing, and the environment, the remedials are there. And we then intend to look at, you know, the environment in which we deliver, and the environment that our service providers deliver on. And begin to say, what are the internal controls that are needed? What are the systems that are needed? But invariably, when systems, among other things, involve people, those systems, they become very weak unless we put in a very strong monitoring and evaluation system that periodically would be testing, you know, exactly, and doing something, a random, unannounced something, to be able to understand what is going on the ground. A team that would arrive at the point of the consumption of the service, that is the school, unannounced, and say, what is happening? Because the report that is coming on the ground is quite scary. Because that is why we want to take it beyond just the mere expenditure, but begin to introduce the quality measure as well as, you know, the quantity measure. And by doing that, we will ensure that indeed we deliver what is expected out of us. Thank you.
Thank you, MSD. Surely these members must leave the campus of the IFC Tower and go and see what's really painful and emotional on the ground. We accept that invitation, and we shall not talk to all of these things from a theoretical point of view of sitting in the IFC Tower here. But it's a good thing that at least you've also seen these things from the very inside of the table. As the chairman of the Finance Portfolio Committee in the state, now you know. Right, let's immediately then take I was told Zimbabwe is going to come in late, I'm not sure where they are. Alright. Then I will take table 10. There's an teenage of the
UK.
I don't see your submission in writing. You just want to say what is it that is not said.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Sir President. Good morning, members. Firstly, I would like to apologize on behalf of our head of the department, who is currently out of the country on official duty. So I'm actually financial officer, who is at the level of executive, we are beginning to see some improvements in the management of the finances of the society. We will be seeing this help happening soon with our 2007-10 budget. I would like to just comment on the issue of HIV and AIDS, that we all know that the problem is a hard thing, and the impact is most felt by our learners and educators in the province. We believe that the political will in the province to deal more decisively with the pandemic. We are going soon, the province will be releasing a provincial study on HIV and AIDS. And along that, the department is also in the process of developing a departmental strategy on HIV and AIDS. With that contention, I would therefore like to say that it will indeed be a disservice to the population of KwaZulu-Natal if the funds that are allocated to the department were to be taken away. And with the submission that we've made to the national department, we would like to add that as of the 10th of March, we have now a capital, the income was not capital in January. We're currently spending at 24% of our expenditure. We did a 10% experience some delay in the submission of invoices from our service providers, but we want to commit to this house that we will spend the budget, we will spend 100% of the budget every day in the 2005-2006 financial year. Peterson, I would also like to add and to make a comment on the issue of the National School Nutrition Project, which is not what we are called in here for.
Let's hear the province gave to us.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the side of Limpopo link, the HIV and AIDS program, there were some challenges. And the challenge was mainly on capacity. Because this is a program which ran with just one program manager, while we didn't have three people working with the program. Even last year, the two positions which were vacant were advertised. Effort was being put in place to try and fill the positions, but it didn't materialize. So as a result of that, that's the problem which we are experiencing on this issue. But again, the program manager who was there, and since resigned from last month, so from the first of this month, we don't have a program manager for the HIV. But by default now, it's in the hands of our general manager and curriculum position, being able to take the process forward. Over and above that, because on the level of spending, we are at about 47% of the program at the moment. Some efforts were made to buy a program, on the China program, which would cost us about 8 million. And that is another way we would be in a position to put up an expenditure higher. But the challenge of staffing is still there. And the department has to move faster to be in a position to get someone who can be in a position to deal with the program from the beginning of the year, that's 1 April 2007. That is the position that five days that is concerned. Thank you.
Yeah, that's your major challenge. In fact, that's why we call you. That's your major challenge. Momanaka. What's it, man?
Thank you, sir. Momanaka, we are also covered in the national presentation that was done by the GG. Just to take the issue highlights and also was non-attendance of the meeting by Humala. And the reason of yesterday also is to say we want to apologize for the NDC who's not here as well. It's a prior commitment and tomorrow is the what is the decision trend for our finance department presentation to budget tomorrow for the problem. However, the expenditure cost plan is on track. one aspect I wanted to emphasize here is the practical departure from Catherine in terms of discussion and extension. There's a huge energy improvement in Bumalanga capacity spent on capital projects compared to last year. And last financial year, I remember when by end of January we were 30% and now we're standing above 5%. We also want to appreciate the collaboration and partnership between the department and National Treasury on the PICAS and the technical assistance that we obtained from the PICAS process. That has not only helped the Department of Education to look at capacity issues, but also the assumptions about the capacity of public works, you know, we have also come to the fore. As a result, that process has also helped public works to shape its own capacity as a main implementing agent for our infrastructure project. Bumalanga, I think, unlike other provinces, has only one implementing agent, which was the Department of Public Works. And all these things are problems that always arise in the out-of-class relationship. The last issue here that is beginning to raise in Bumalanga is the capacity of the building industry in Bumalanga itself. And it has been raised an issue with big projects coming up, how train, building of KEA 2010, it's beginning to take all capacities available in the field for construction of schools. As a result of that, in the province, we're working on a general plan to look at these challenges. I would not make a long submission at this stage. We are on the right path in terms of expansion. We've improved our expansion and across programs quite beautifully, and I want to say that we'll be on track by the end of the financial year. Also, our plans is a plan for the new financial year. We've checked on especially the issues that we are raising, and we think are very important, particularly the credibility of the plan, as well as implementability of those plans. I'm in terms of all of those things.
Thank you very much, sir. That's it. That's a lot in terms of problems that I hear. Questions, comments, and clarities, Mr. Botta.
Yes, thank you very much. And I would like to start with some things. Yes, on my side, that I'm appreciated the sensation from them. I think they realize the problem. And I'm fully with you as chair that we listen to them and to also let us know exactly what is going on. Yeah, we are not to be. We are to listen. I think that message will also be clear. That you are not this committee, you're not there to fire people, but we are there to assist where the problem, what will next happen. In regarding of Chief Limpopo, I'm just one concern, Chief. And I'm not clear that I say I'm, that's what I say is concerned. The computer program, how will it work? In regarding of this HIV. Who will deal with that? What, how is that program? Because I can't put it in my fear to say 8 million ads will be spent for computers. And we know the MEC actually also indicated that it's an excellent program. But is the department convinced that that will be implemented correctly? And where will the staff come and where will the people coming from who will deal with the computer to carry us over to the learners? And that program is not clear for me. Here and then, just overall, I hear everyone say capacity to go to 2010 soccer, solely saving. Capacity is thrown away from the problem. Isn't it really so because those who build the stadiums are very big contracts. And the local contracts, the small contracts, how are they involved? I don't want to make a statement to say that you're starting with another capacity. Because I know for a fact in the Popo there's lots of small contractors who can build. Who can both see, but they're not getting the dots.
for me the skill that everything is now involved to that. Because most of this stadium haven't stopped. But we already have the skill for the problem in regarding the problem.
I must, of course, appreciate the statement from the Honorable MEC, from Mr. J, where he trying to concentrate that we should take into account the fact that the situation is not as even as one would think on the ground, comparing rural and urban. That is true. But also, when one thinks of the case of church, you ask yourself many questions in your mind. What has been happening in this place? Because we used to ask the same questions in this case. Here, the community involved in the arrangement of this meeting scheme. And we were getting a rosy answer that the community involved. They started that. Today we're told that some officials are suspected. You know, the concept of people-centered development means people must be there, they must participate. The question now I have, just to check to the Imahat, or you should not again fall into the trap of the inherent problem. Do we really have to be some coordinating the measures there? So that there's a checking to know exactly what is happening in the other place, that place. Because it would appear that the school is going to be put in a way, maybe not really helping us. I would say so because I don't have a sense of what happened as what takes place before one is awarded a tender to feed. Does this contractor put through the sort of screening process? Truly, we need some kind of, in a way, we need to have this. We should have this. This experience that we have in political spectrum of campus, what are these people? Where do they come from? No, I listened this morning from the news, that is something. Something very simple. Whereby you start interrogating the work done by a developer. Only to find that, yes, definitely passing all the way through. Because these people are not great. You know, at the action. That's my advice. And in case that ends, I want you to check, maybe you talk about launching a new status plan. What do you need to achieve? I understand you want to know this. What is it that you want to achieve that you could not achieve in the past? Why is it you crash? You also talk of releasing the department position. You say, here to head before, or is it in preparation for the upcoming annual budget? What is it?
No.
going to be part of the province, provinces that we come from, nine of them. But I think that the one thing that the government should continue to do, which else on this side we continue supporting, and I think that then take that control, which we should never run away from. I think it's ensuring that where there are conditional grants, these conditional grants we don't run away, so that nobody does one. And then, as for the conditional grant, then the issues of norms and standards will ensure that then everybody abides by the conditional grant. Somewhere else, where the interest to share is involved, where it can be given to provinces, to Nigeria. And then, I think that the way we are, 2007, we don't want to continue with this disparities, especially for the stability of the province. We don't want to see this to continue. We'd like to ensure that the gap somehow is closed. And I think that also the Eastern Cape, I'm sure, supports that. But I think that from the presentation of the National Department, in terms of the planning that the DG said and what's happening to the province, I think across the province, we will want to protect with supporting that, to welcome that. But also, as we said, that the financial year will start, and then we'll be there to observe some of the plans that we hear that are going to take place to ensure that somehow there is a capacity building, a poverty being eradicated. But what is not clear is I agree with my colleague covered water around the HIV program of the POPO. I'm sure it might be a good program, as they say, but I think that it's difficult for us to make us understand what is it that they are talking about. I'm not sure that there are many people who understand what they are talking about. But maybe as time goes on, we'll be in a position to understand. I think that is my general comment.
All right. Let's say this for Limbaugh. Can you prioritize this staffing issue so that we get into the end of the financial year now? It would be useful to have a sense of urgency from the side so that as you start the new financial year, clearly we can't perpetuate this trend that has been going on for, I think, for the last 3-4 financial years in respect of this conditional grant. Surely there must be finally some stability just in terms of implementing here. Do ensure that you deal with these challenges of staffing, etc. I think that's for you. Eastern Cape, the biggest problem that we saw there, I suspect, was underestimation of the numbers. Because halfway in the year, you decided not to feed because it appeared there were more learners than the funding. It would be nice just to ensure that especially your people also leave the ivory tower of the office so that they go on the ground and ensure that the business members are only raising of the real number. I mean, at some stage you were feeding 3 days when other provinces were feeding 5 days. So I'm just saying, I think it's a matter that we must ensure that the numbers are very much in line. Issues of alignment, prioritizing would be very much critical. I think it's a matter that we must monitor carefully with yourself, like in just on an ongoing basis. For us, I think that's a very critical matter for the Eastern Cape, just to ensure that the numbers, the learners, are the upright numbers. KZN, well, I think my colleagues have raised issues with yourself that I think you must raise prioritize as well. So that as we get into this brand new financial year, then let's see a better picture. Again, everything that we don't want to hear a rosy picture in the first quarter, and yet these things are really not in place properly. Let me then allow the MEC to respond.
Chair, I may not have the opportunity, so let me, take it as much to say. You know, I've always held this committee in high esteem, and as a former chairperson of finance, I've attended, the lockup and all participation. And indeed, again, my appearance twice here is showing that indeed I still hold the committee in high esteem. Just as a matter of responding to what is on the ground and the issues that are raised by Mr. Colway, and in the process also thanking Mr. Bocha for beginning to say, looking at our report, we have indeed scanned the environment, and were able to lift issues as we have done in our report. We will indeed be putting the monitoring and evaluation team in the office of the MEC. Hence, I was talking about unannounced and periodic. Because when you want to catch people, you don't telegraph to them. You just speak randomly and go. The same, method that is used by the Auditor General. The Auditor General doesn't come and audit everything. You just speak fumbles. And out of those fumbles, you will begin to say, out of 10 schools, we've been able to pick 4 schools that have not been fed. Now, also, I would like to go back to what I said, Mr. Colley. When I presented, I talked about collusion. Collusion between our own officials, the supplier, and indeed, the service keeper. And that is why we are responding to say we need a monitoring and evaluation unit placed in the highest office and reporting in the highest office, that is in the office of, the superintendent general. And I will then be, getting those reports. And when we put together, Mr. Goldwyn, a service level agreement, one other thing is that we give you a chance by giving you, the tender. You fall down, you out. Because here we're not talking anything, we're talking live monitors, we're talking quality education. As I said, there is a link between, nutrition, school nutrition program, and children going to school. So you cannot allow faltering. Where we pick up, there is a faltering. The second level agreement that we have to come, it's that you either in or out.
and we must be, you know, brutal in our approach in defense of the children. Because currently, people only see that program as an enriching program for themselves. They don't see the children. Just to illustrate, you know, this thing around the vetting, in the current 48-hour tender that we put in, 742 people came through. And vetting eliminated people that were funding. It eliminated people with dummy companies. People did not get, you know, tax clearance certificate. And that 742 was practically reduced even lesser than the half to 300. And 64 people that were given, you know, the tender, they came out of that clear. Indeed, vetting was done. And indeed, you know, but obviously, even vetting, thorough as it should be, it does not go to the heart of the person. To begin to say, indeed, I am interested in seeing of the children. I'm not interested in the money. So that is why we're putting in place a monitoring and evaluation to test and also put a quality and quantity measure. Coming to, you know, the issue of the numbers and the feeding of 3 days. When education took over from health, some anomaly happened that there were people that still not paid by health. And a funny thing happened that also an amount of 50 million had to be paid by education to health, which should not indeed have happened. And it was in front of, you know, the SCOPA, and I was sitting there where they took 50 million when they shouldn't have. Because it means if then, you know, nutrition was taken over to education, that allocation was talking to that year and not the previous year. What has not happened in the previous year should have been covered in the equitable share of that department as a one-off to pay off, but it did not happen that way. So hence the 3 days of feeding. So also to, you know, begin to understand, there will be a joint verification of, you know, numbers on the ground to ensure that we are able to pick up the number of school-going children in certain categories. Unfortunately, there are certain things that we will do which have nothing to do indeed with school nutrition, but it's things that will ensure that, again, we support, you know, children to ensure that they continue going to school and receive quality education. And in that, we are marrying, you know, the school that is getting people, like the exit school, marry it with the school where it feeds, to ensure that that school takes interest in what happens in that, you know, school that teaches it, up to the university level. Because I've had, you know, a meeting with representatives of Vice-Chancellor to be able to say they must also take interest on our high school, because this is where they get, you know, their students. So we're putting those things to ensure that, you know, we are ensuring the quality measure, and quality measure will not only be in the, you know, school nutrition. Let me stop the share and thank you. Limbaugh.
Thank you, Chairperson. The problem which we are dealing with of the cleaner, the program in which it's going to be implemented in 200 schools to one at a time. And in each and every school, two educators are going to become updated on the end of the program. So the program is mainly on HIV/AIDS, that is education. So it's, instead of writing material like we did for this school, this program is going to be used in any position to do learning and teaching at the classroom level, making use of this program. Materials will be produced, but mainly it will be this program. So that is how it's going to work. It's going to take over what was being done by the teachers themselves, but then the program will be used for this purpose. It will not be in all the schools, it's only 300. That the schools will continue like they are doing at the end of the day. Thank you.
The kingdom.
Not
It's got a new name by them, it's no more the TIG. It is the infrastructure grant to PROM, because we are told the president is not happy with
the fact.
Because he told the TIG, because he says maybe that's why people are not able to utilize it. It's called a TIG. And I love Hawk. Hawk is from the infrastructure grant to problem. I think it's a matter of human engagement with your own provincial president, especially if you have the capacity to spend. Because this is one area which we think that compromise infrastructure issues that we raised it as an answer so that in the first quarter, it would be nice to get a sense of it. Where are you headed for? So that you are again not compromised just in terms of the infrastructure issues that you are dealing with. Let's thank you then for coming before us and the place is emotional. I think I must just say you did raise very, very emotional issues to us. Some of them we know in our constituencies, but the high rate you really have raised this matter. I'm not sure if somebody is not persuaded to think otherwise now. But, you know, when he's seated here, Mr. Makato, I think he's right, when he's seated here, and then people continuously understand, you then say, man, there's something wrong. But then when people are starting to say, no, we are mindful of these issues, there is a political need to do these things, there are these challenges, and we're putting in place this structure and system to deal with this matter, then it does also appeal to us. But clearly, we must strive and ensure, for instance, the issue that is raised by Limbombo, somebody decides to resign. Gosh, that's terrible. Because it means the whole program is at a standstill. And therefore, how do you deal with this matter? Looks like Angel Jim Bumalanga wanted to say one or two things.
Thank you, Chair. I just to say that on the all contractors issue, I wanted to just caution that the ITC accredited the builder as a result of that they clearly qualify for one project. So you find that in a province where you are scaling up infrastructure, your usual one platform builder, you know, is caught off guard. As a result of that, in Mpumalanga was a program called Sankabani, Construction Development Program, which is to strengthen that for Sankabani.
Let me see, children, that you have to wait. You're not on the desk all today.
Yeah,
no, thanks, sir. I am almost sure that as provinces, with the support that we get from, the Ministry of Education, and the administration, as well as the committee, that is the Black Committee, putting us on our toes, because I understood the question to begin to say, have you looked at, what are the trends here? You know, what are the implications of not speaking? It's not about stopping the money, it's about, a wake-up call to begin to say, in this area, you are extremely weak. What is the turnaround strategy? And that turnaround strategy was given a platform, and we are very grateful for that platform. And I'm sure I'm speaking for other provinces as well, in the absence of their evidence, to begin to say that, indeed, we are, collaborating as provinces. Looking at best practices. And the fact that, in the CEM, that is Council of the Education Minister, three provinces, ourselves, Gauteng, and another one, were expected to put at least three intervention areas where we are intervening to ensure that things happen. This is the program of the minister to begin to say also that's the support. That we're getting. Because support, sometimes people begin to look at it as you are getting somebody to come and do what they expected to do.
The support is to begin to say, you need to intervene. Look at the department. Which are the three strategic positions, you know, things that you need to intervene in and begin to unfold so that we learn one process from another. We begin to, you know, do some peer review as well. Outside, you know, what the Select Committee is doing. So indeed, you know, Department of Education, led by the Minister, you know, is on a path to education.
Indeed, thank you very much, and we'll be watching this space. We'll be talking to yourself all the time so that all of these things are done properly. Can we have tea? And at 11, we'll be dealing with health. Thank you very much.
I would have been here, I used the car, it's been here 2 hours.
With a very clear voice.
That's the problem with this one. This is around the center. I can't find him here.
No,
I don't have that. I've only got it because I only have two sheets going on.
Oh, I wonder who has that thing.
Well, that's
No, we don't want to see him. No.
We are talking.
No.
Where is the microphone? Don't listen. You know me well.
We human education has been prioritized, and then we can compare against what the stated policy priorities are, both by government and specifically by the Department. then if it is below the average, we can be arguing that it might be, that it has not been prioritized. So we're able to compare. The second part of the presentation looks at under or overspending rates. Okay, in the first instance, over the past 3 years, the average growth of spending has been 5% for provincial government. And it's projected to be just over 4%, 4.13% for the next 3 years. Now in the case of health, the departments as a whole have been growing at a slower than average rate, 2.7% over the past 3 years, and slightly less than the budgeted amount of 4.13%. The breakdown by personnel, training and capital, we look at that because the overarching national growth strategies of GISA and GIPSA particularly emphasize capital spending on infrastructure, hospitals and clinics primarily, and training, and in this instance, training of staff. And we also look at personnel to see what, because that's a major component of the departmental spend. Generally, personnel has been growing at higher than the departmental average, at least for the past 3 years, and then projected to be growing at lower. The training on spending has been about 5% over the past 3 years and appears to have dropped quite a bit. Now, I put a star next to training because the data here is quite patchy. Some provinces do not report on training or don't seem to be budgeting for training. But the indication is that it's clearly been deprioritized. It's a very low growth rate. In terms of capital, over the past 3 years, there's been strong growth in capital spending, and that's in accordance with the priorities of GISA. Then similarly, the growth of capital for budgets is again slightly higher than average, but not much. If we then look at the next set of rows, this looks into some of the programs within the provincial health department. In the first instance, it's quite clear that clinics, the primary health care system, clinics and community health centres, appears to have been prioritized over the past 3 years, growing at 8% and then jumping up to 16% of the 2007 NTE year. However, it should be borne in mind that the provinces are building the municipal clinics, so the rise in expenditure may have a lot to do with that. It may not be expansion of the primary healthcare system. The second is that we look at is district and provincial hospitals, and these have declined over the past 3 years and have also not been prioritized very much in the new budget. So if district and provincial hospitals were considered a priority, it's not indicated in the spending or budget figures. The tertiary hospitals, which are the academic hospitals, have been growing quite strongly at the upper end of the provincial health system, at nearly 10% over the past 3 years and budgeted at 4% for the next 3. The HIV/AIDS component of spending has been growing very rapidly. That's because it's a new program that goes up a low base, so the very high growth rates are not very remarkable. They're still higher than average over the next 4 years. The percentage of provincial budgets is growing all the time. Then we look at some of the important conditional grants of the national department. What's fairly clear here is that training and development has been declining and is projected to continue to decline. This would not seem to be in the interests of skill formation. Furthermore, the training and development grants and the percentage of health spending is higher than the reported spending or budget for training, 2.5 versus 1.5. The hospital revitalization grant has been growing very fast, 15% over the past three years, projected at nearly over 16%. The tertiary hospital grant has been declining over the past 3 years, projected to grow at below the average, and then the HIV/AIDS grant has been growing very rapidly. Second part of the presentation is to look at the next table, which is looking at under and over spending rates. Generally, over the past 3 years, health has been growing, has been underspending at the low rate. So that's in general 0.5%, that's well below the benchmark of the auditor general of 5%. Personnel spending has been very little underspending there as well, or cost percentage. In terms of capital, the situation is less, in terms of infrastructure spend, the situation is less favorable, 12% underspend average over the past 2 years. Looking at the program components, Jenny's program that stands out a little bit in terms of underspending is HIV/AIDS, slightly over 5%. All the rest is even overspent for the hospitals at 1.5% and nearly 1%. With respect to the conditional grant, the one that stands out here for underspending, quite high underspending, is the hospital revitalization grant, 16.5%. Training grants, underspending of 3%, the others slightly overspent. James and members, I will leave it at that point. There is another column here on projected overspending for the current year. It's based on the spending up until December. I'm sure there are new figures, and this doesn't include February, come March, March.
Sometimes government decides that they based on the approval of business plans. In other words, they have presented the business plan to us,
way I approved those disciplines, and on the basis of that approval, the MSCs and the premiers that actually made some announcements, some of those hospitals have some or the other political significance or at least relevant in relation to the particular problem. And the issue here is that secondly, we do want to say that the money that the show, the budget for the hospital revitalization has been growing and is also growing in the coming financial year. But the issue is it's not growing at the same pace as the number of business plans that are actually approved. When there was underspending 2 years ago in Australia, the justification for why we were not necessarily going to get more money was because we were underspending. And the argument that perhaps the issues here relate to the business plans that will be put in place and not necessarily approved, so there's a demotivation factor. And then the response was, give us the business plan and we will actually approve. The money is there, not the problem. The issue is the business plans and so on. And so the problem is accelerated without the business plan protection. Now our faith is in a situation where there's an overproduction of business plans, overtaking the financial performance as well as in the capital project. So in the budget for 2008-2009, what was done is to actually look at those projects that are already on site in any project and ensure that because they are contractual obligations, let's make sure that we deal with all of them. And that is why some hospitals that are actually announced do not have funds. Here, I'm sure you must have read in the Western Cape that there are two hospitals that they are still talking about. Kailisha and Mitchell's Plain. Now, there are two hospitals in the Northern Cape, Da'ar and I think another one. There are almost four or six hospitals in Western Natal that are in a similar situation. And the fact that I can actually go to a lot of this, where groundwork has been done, so it's not about whether the business plans are there or not. Even in some instances, groundwork has been done, but we can't continue those projects because of that. We still need to find ways to fund those projects because if we don't, we might have difficulty. Just to note here that the Health Provincial Department here on here significantly improved on spending on capital by spending almost 63% or 3.2 billion against 51%, against 5.1 billion health capital adjusted budget, which is about 52% more than the 10 billion in last year, in 2005-2006. And of course, this is according to the Treasury, which is corroborated. But even that percentage, it would have been more if we were only looking at the dollar spending without the phenomenal that I'm talking about of late approvals of the rollover. With regard to the book, the underspending the MSC will explain more. The overspending is just a reflection of resources that are used by the provinces from their own equitable share funds. So it's not necessarily overspending against the conditional grant, but additionalities which are reflected in the spending on the council legislation. Especially because they were dealing with existing contractual obligations, which they couldn't say they can't pay for. So that's what is happening. With regard to the third question that was raised, Chair, which led to the forensic pathology service, I do want to say that currently there's a consistently very low spending in this particular grant. And of course, this
some of which were not connected to allow health officials to work in them. In other words, we want to change over to have to take over those forensic for those modules, and we have to actually look at the state at which they were, which is actually not so conducive to health workers with health officials working there. And also the building of new modules also with the provincial department of public works. It also covers issues of the equipping of these modules, including new vehicles, the employment of modular staff by provincial health department, and other matters that are not necessarily related to this matter of spending, such as of underspending or failure to spend, such as staff training, safety, and IT issues. Now, obviously, once I've actually alluded to what is it that is making this understanding or causing the understanding. Obviously, once I've alluded to the involvement of another department, like the Department of Public Works, then you will know that there is a possibility, like the moon follows the sun, like the night follows the day at the moment, that it will follow that there will be a little bit of understanding, particularly once you involve the Department of Public Works. For example, some of the invoices that are related to the work that has been done, plus minus 50 million, and from still awaited from the SAPS, and about 25 million from the Department of Public Works. But all the expenditure on this module depends on finalizing of the capital expenditure, because there are challenges with regard to the tenders and the TWPS and so on. And then there's also, again, the approval of rollovers, which is always done late, which then makes planning very, very, very difficult. This one area where if we can improve on our performance, both in the province and the membership, some of these rules are all over there to be approved in the province, because they're actually provincial, taken provincial money. So it's very critical that we do that. But this is a new area, and we're just taking over over the conditional grant and the services themselves. We are likely to see improvements in the performance as we understand kind of training involved that would have to deal with the relation to foreign services. The Western Cape Department will say something on this particular issue in relation to Western Cape, and I think the other provinces that are here would also say something about that. So, Chair, with regard to those matters that you raised in the letter, that is what we would like to actually present. We also do want to say, Chair, that we welcome the health sector. We welcome very much the division of the community, but it's lacked at the moment, because it's a great improvement in terms of our own budgeting and expenditure. You can see that in the HIV and AIDS arena, we have an improvement in the budget. But we do want to know, Chair, that at some point, like we did last year, and we are very grateful with you, that the Treasurer was able to respond to this information to both last year in the adjustment budget, as well as this year, in terms of improving on the HIV and AIDS grant. We do want to say that this grant is actually related to the performance of the provinces with regard to the uptake on treatment early. And therefore, if the uptake on treatment is faster than the projection, you have a projected possibility that they are going to be overspending. And we already know that in some provinces that's going to be the case, because there are more people that are coming up for treatment than the projected figure, theoretical test. And therefore, we are already, for example, in the Western Cape, we're working out that we already find a shortfall. numbers, similarly in other provinces. So we don't want to know that. And while the growth is very, very significant, but we want the committee to know so that if there is a reflection somewhere in the third quarter that we are projecting an over expenditure, the committee doesn't get alarmed, because that's the straightforward thing. It will happen again the night following the day, because that growth is faster. The growth in numbers of uptake is actually still faster than the figures that are on the table. So just to note those two things. One, to note that the issue of the hospital revitalization, there is on our part an acceptance that there is a growth in the budget. But again, it's actually a growth compared to the number of business plans that are on the table. That is actually smaller than that. And therefore, we mostly have to deal with the contractual implications that are on the table, that are on the calendar. You can see the performance is 85%, 90%. This was expected to be almost 101% by the end of the financial year. And secondly, that with regards to the Italian aid class also, the same kind of thing is likely to happen, because we're being overtaken by our own performance. Chair, we will take questions.
Thank you, Gigi. You know, this discussion seems to be long overdue. So that all of us are just under one roof. Just to say, Gigi, there's nothing punitive about these things. Just to check whether some of these people do exist or not. And we give money to ghosts, etc., etc. So that's the bottom line. But number two, just to say if they do exist, can you pull up your socks? Just pull up your socks, okay? But secondly, for them, you know, the Eastern Cape Health Department says to us, the quarterly engagements have been useful to them. Firstly, they do not even know that in Doha they ought to benefit from the PRG. And in the coming financial year, they're going to benefit as a result of this year, really hammering the provincial treasury that they've got to benefit. Whether they like it or not, the law is clear. It says health, education, and home. But clearly, there are problems. A particular decision was taken, which would have been, no, no. Yes, that's correct. And I'm not saying these discussions therefore are useful in that context. So that, but number two, how do we share best practice so that all of us are at one in terms of doing all of these things? So we are not really terribly young boys, but we are between 10 sometimes, but it's really not about picking everybody. Thanks very much, AOG, about that. Now, one of the things we need to deal with, I'm not sure when, it's a matter that we shall have to raise with the provincial measures and people that deal with approval of all of us. Well, I think that's a very useful issue that is raised there. How do we deal with those? But also the aspect you raise in the involvement of other departments, then the forensic pathology. There are issues of, I'm not sure whether you call it passive resistance or what, but we need to deal with those issues. How do we ensure that problem is all of them, and even national departments ensure that there is fast movement forward when we deal with this, so that planning is really not compromised to the extent that there's a delivery, it is also compromised. Can we then allow the MEC to make the request simple?
Thank you, Chairman. And members of the Select Committee and DG for Health. Let me start off by thanking you for having invited us to this so that we are able to explain to what is actually happening in the province.
the equivalent of the chairperson that we are invited to participate and motivate why the committee should want to use the hospital revitalization grant and the forensic pathology grant earmarked for the top of provincial department of health, as there has been consistently and materially understood the money reduced, being reallocated to some of the performing provinces until that time the performing province has developed sufficient capacity to deliver, which I'm sure chairperson, the explanation that you give will actually show us that we are not actually drinking from the same well as what we are. In terms of our structure of in terms of the, our budget, in addition to the 58 million budget that the department has received, the role of the office imports 6.3 million digital services. And there was only one system in practice of the seven facilities that SAPS was using, which could be taken over by us. The new facilities have been constructed for the service. And a total of new 9 countries have been built and is also scheduled for completion in the next financial year. Of the 85 million set aside for building services, an amount of 81 million has already been spent, 81 million of the 85 million. As of February 2007, the total expenditure has been 7.2 million in 200. And further 15 million is required to complete the land structure. We have also received a vehicle which has been ordered at the cost of 3.2 million and the payment is 2 which tells us that we are very good. And in terms of after having picked the vehicle, we mean that they are from saving the material. And we had two meetings that were actually delayed. The first one was capacity, because we are actually changing the new hospital and we are not able to attach mutually to the old hospital. Secondly, it was the seniors, where we are also in the process of building now, and we are contacting them and actually saying the meeting for me. And on the hospital revitalization grant, I am sure this year the actually clarified that they are actually working. However, it is important, Chairperson, to also mention the factors that they are actually looking to overcome in terms of the hospital revitalization grant, but it is not our intention to have an investment. And our planning was not actually going to lead us to understand. Let me just mention that the hospital revitalization concept, and I know we all know what it is useful, but I thought it would be important just to remind ourselves that it is actually consisting of four components, and that is the health technology, the infrastructure development, financial improvement, and the and the hospital revitalization grant is the sole source of funding for the project within the province with more external services. The MTS budget allocation of the grant has been subject to constant change, making planning very difficult. The capital project, this capital project takes up 4 years to complete, with the changing MTS allocation becomes a huge problem to manage. The pace of construction that is expected to follow the cash flow of the budget. The MTF budget is there to enable planning for the future implementation of projects, and the previous table clearly, in fact, the table that our defending to chapter 7 on page 6 will actually show you the inconsistencies in terms For instance, the budget for four and five MTF was 100 million plus 100 million for plus 100 million for 5 and 6 100 million. In 5 and 6, the actual amount increased by 102 million for 2006 and 2007. In the 6 and 7 mission budget, it was again reduced by 74 million. Besides the actual expenditure, 80% of the increased amount was actually, as I've already mentioned, that we actually had 10 additional budget of 102 million, which actually made us to actually spend that. Because the actual spend was we received 100 million more, which then had to actually spend half of it to make sure that at least we are spending. This was achieved despite additional budget allocated for 102 million that was only known in January, 2 months before the year budget, which is what the DG said. In terms of the approval of the road movement, which is and you get to know it in January. Most of the time, you've got a month or two to actually spend money. Now, besides that, we actually spent 54 million and 102 million. But that is not the change effect that actually understand it. The MTF budget for 6 and 7 was also drastically cut for the outside years. The current allocation of the budget for 7 and 8 MTF, once I mentioned the initial international fund, now is made available. That is, for 7 and 8, we are getting additional debt of 1 million and 8 and 9 was additional subsequently 61 million. And Chairperson, just to say that we are going to the fund. The department is also put on the project implementation plan that is under the service of the national treasury. And we believe that the allocated fund will be utilized because identified for the community plan that has already been completed. The contractors have been appointed over the MTF period. And the additional funds have been allocated to approve the project and additional expenditure dependent on the project made by the contractor against the territory. Chairperson, on the basis is what I've just referred to. And also, the page 7 is also the historical trend in terms of our study, which actually shows you that we have actually consistently been paying our allocation in terms of the hospital. If you look at it from 2002-2003 up to 2005-2006, where we had an additional. And in terms of the present financial year, that is on page 8, we actually received 8 million and the road number of 54. Budget of 112. And the actual payment that has been made is 186. And we have got 24, which is over expenditure. And we have a commitment of 52 million. And we have an anticipated shortfall of 52 million. On the client is just a graph that shows the same information. In terms of just to show the usefulness of the grant chapter, we say that since the inception of the hospital revitalization grant, the department has completed and is operating the hospital, that is the work of which the president is opposed, and the current report. very much. Things which are scary, but not, it was not intended to be scary. Thanks for the transition. Our minds will have to mind our language next time. But it does mean that it was. But it's not, it's very people to some action. Because you also are able to get a sense, really, of what is going on. And I think it's very helpful that we're able to see some of these things coming out clearly. Of course, the issue of the agency and the need is very much that demonstrated in the submission. Very much is okay. HOD Pumana.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, members of the committee, MEC for Health and Social Development in Popo, and DG Health. Let me just start by apologizing to this committee for the absence of the Honourable MEC for Health and Social Services for not being here today. But then hasten to say that the MEC has clarified his position on appearing before various committees of parliament, and that will make it easy for the Department of Health and Social Services to interact with the said committees in the future. The BRAC commitment and legislative sitting on the 6th of this month are not the main reasons for the Honorable MEC's absence today. And once more, our sincerest apologies. The invitation did say that Mpumalanga is failed to appear before the committee during the 2006 and 2007 to respond on the performance of the conditional grant, the majority of which are consistent and materially underperforming. And the Department of Health and Social Services did send an apology to the committee to explain the directive of the provincial health code for failure to appear in the in front of the committee at the time. We have distributed the presentation, but the focus is on the work that we do in the province. And I hope that the introduction we do we are heard and understood to be responding to the first paragraph that refers to the province. Our interaction through the presentation, we do have the summary of the budget of the spent outcomes and spent funds from the previous financial year, and also the summary of the budget and the spent outcomes for the current fund. On the unspent funds, I'll just summarize by saying that the 27.009 million from the previous financial year has already been spent at the end of the third quarter. The budget and expenditure outcome for the current year fund. At 63%, the average expenditure on the conditional grant is lower than the expected target of 25% for the reporting period. And the expenditure on all the grants has improved and is above 80% at the end of February 2007, except for the forensic pathology and hospital revitalization grants. That are 43% and 74% respectively. We have summarized the budget and expenditure outcome for the current year fund, and they are reflected in slide number 8 and that show that at the end of February, for comprehensive HIV and AIDS, we had 86% for national social services and 93% for the health professional training and development grant, 82% for hospital revitalization and 74% for HIV infrastructure at 95% and forensic pathology services at 43%. On the comprehensive HIV and AIDS grant, this grant has improved to 86% at the end of February from 50% at the end of the third quarter. The department has had a little bit of business plan, and the available fund of 13 million 647 at the end of February will be spent, as you have indicated, to pay the health system charge, laboratory health services, and there are quite a number of activities that we have engaged in, which instead of having to be correctly generalized against the to be correctly spent, we have used the equitable share, and we have to generalize and correct that, and that will be amount to about 4.1 million when we pass the general. We do have regular monitoring sessions, weekly as well as monthly, and on a quarterly basis, we do have reports that we are reviewing to make sure that we do comply with the business plan and also remain within the budget. On the NTSG, the expenditure of this grant is on track at 75% at the end of December 2006 and 93% at the end of February. And this grant is also monitored in the very same way as we are monitoring the comprehensive HIV and AIDS grant. On the health professional training and development grant, the expenditure of this grant improved from 51% to 82%, and the variance of 9.641 million is 20 for the Philadelphia Hospital, that is translated in Popo province, for which an amount of 7 million is allocated. And the department will manage the transfer together with the Popo to ensure that all the funds allocated to this grant are paid. On the hospital revitalization grant, this grant has been improved to 33% from 51% to 76%. And this is mainly as a result of low progress at Rob Pereira's side. The difficulty that is there will come through again when we deal with the provincial, when we deal with the forensic pathology services. Because evidence being said in the morning when this program body was dealing with education. At the heart of the challenge, we do have planning, which is poor and ability sector. But the National Department of Health and the Treasury, both at the provincial and the national level, are assisting the provincial department of health and social services to ensure that this is corrected. The provincial infrastructure grant, which is on track and was 86% at the end of the third quarter and 95% at the end of February. With the forensic pathology services, as I have already said, we do have this challenge of under expenditure. We have the underspending mainly attributed to delays in the infrastructural project, and the amount of 40 million is budgeted for infrastructural projects and other commitments are as follows: refrigerated vehicles 1.7 million, renovation of 2 million, equipment and other operational costs of 1 million, and some of the services can only be completed and paid in the next financial year. Some of the solutions that we have put in place for infrastructure as it affects forensic pathology and the department as a whole are the tools that we have, that are the plans. We have also introduced in the department the annual planning calendar so that especially people who are at the wrong place can be able to see and know as to what is expected of them up to the end of the financial year in detail. And the provincial technical assistance team that has been introduced with the intervention of the National and Provincial Department of Health are assisting also with the introduction of a 3-year planning and delivery cycle. On forensic pathology, we have, as a commission, decided that we will prioritize the program generally. Going back to the infrastructure challenges, is that we have also decided in the province to insist on a cluster approach to infrastructure delivery. As a social sector cluster, we have to set our target that we have got to arrive at a 20% reduction in infrastructure backlog. That is clinic, hospitals, schools, and libraries. And that has been included part of our program of action as a social sector cluster. And we are working towards the finalization of the turnaround strategy for the social sector on infrastructure. I hope that I've been able to cover the areas that we have concerned to the select committee. And just to restate that we hope that with the further interactions we will be able to improve on our performance as a program. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. But I'm not sure.
Thank you, Chairperson. Members of the Select Committee, MEC, the local DGL, HOEs. If I may start by once again making apologies of our honorable MEC and our HOE of the Department of Health. Chairperson, we have responded to the invitation where you've asked us to provide reasons to the committee as to why the grant should, for the pathology grant should not be. Thank you, Chairperson. So anyway, we've done a presentation where we want to bring your attention to the data. We want to bring your attention to the capacity issues that have been addressed in the meantime. We want to talk a bit about the current performance in terms of the business plan. We want to then also talk a bit about the financial performance subsequent to the figure that you have accessed on the end of January or so. The background to the pathology grant was the fact that for the first half of the year, from April 2006 to September 2006, when an acting manager in that position, there was a severe shortage of technical construction-related skills. We rely heavily on the Department of Public Works to assist with the rollout of the construction and refurbishment aspects of this particular grant. We had the appointment of the principal agent, which happened with the bank. We also had a severe skill shortage as far as the HR issues were concerned. That resulted in recruitment and appointment delays. All of that together resulted in $2 million being spent in the first 6 months of the grant of $79 million, which was issued. From the 1st of October onwards, the project team, which was head office driven, was appointed. A full-time project manager has been appointed as part of his leave. He appointed another contractual appointment in the area of the construction, certified mechanical engineer, admin support staff, also a full-time forensic pathology person dealing with clinical aspects. We also seconded someone with HR, with an some background to the project. And we also then identified an alternative implementing agent to the Ethiopian Highway Kuka Development Corporation to assist with a lot of the construction aspect of the project. The current position, we just want to touch briefly on the HR issues, the infrastructure issues related to equipment, refurbishment, and construction of new water resources, touch on transport, all of these being part of the business plan. Human resources, we have an approved organic grant of 211 posts. As of the 28th of February 2007, we appointed 203 persons into those positions. We also just articulated various posts, and I just want to draw your attention to the more senior posts as forensic pathologists. There were three appointed. The assumed duty, was appointed, and he chose to assume duty. It's a starter, which is one of the larger mortuaries. The offer was declined by the preferred candidate there. We re-advertised and anticipate to make an appointment very soon, just for the month of March. In terms of the business plan for the first year, we aim to appoint 170 people. We have, in fact, then appointed 203. Infrastructure, as part of the infrastructure assessment, we realized that X-rays were needed at the various institutions. Seven machines were ordered. They are presently being installed at a cost of $10.7 million. Payment will be made before the end of March for that particular aspect. In terms of mechanical equipment, cold storage, fridges, body cabinets, etc., a total cost of $11.6 million has gone out on tender. The tender has been awarded to three contractors on the 23rd of February, and today it will register at the same date as our provincial interim bid award committee. In terms of refurbishment of the existing 14 SAPs and mortuaries, the Kuka Development Corporation advertised these tenders on which closed on the 19th of February. The estimated value for the refurbishment is $11 million. We expect that once awarded, the construction period will be 6 months, and by the end of August, everybody should be spent. The construction of the 17 new mortuaries in terms of the business plan. The first batch of 6 mortuaries were advertised on the 26th of February, closing the 12th of March. Second batch of mortuaries have been advertised on the 7th of March, and closing in April. Total estimated costs for this in terms of the estimates of the implementing agent is $66 million. Construction period will be over 14 months, the completion date to be August 2008. Current position as far as transport is concerned, in terms of the business plan, currently we have 20 which have been transferred from SAPS, 25 vehicles from the National Health Department, and all future vehicle acquisitions will be done to the South Africa Fiscal Conference. Budget. Basically, we started the year with an original allocation of $79.9 million. We received in December, 17th of December to be exact, $11 million. Total conditional grant for the initial project being $90.9 million. Budget. Just to talk briefly about budget versus actual, the $90.94 million expenditure up until the 28th of February is $17.2 million, 18.7%. Balance available after expenditure is $73.7 million. The biggest drivers of the grant is in fact the refurbishment and construction aspects and the staffing improvement and construction in 47%, the ground staffing in 30%. And moving on to the next slide, where we speak of the commitment of the end of March, so you can see that $73.735 million is what's still available in terms of budget. For the commitment is $21.67 million. We're sitting within was $52 million not being spent as of the end of the year. And as I indicated, the biggest driver being the construction aspect there. Construction will only be starting the new financial year on the refurbishment and the new mortuary. 60% of that $52 million relates to construction. 26.9% of the underspend relates to starting. As I indicated, starting took place towards the end of the financial year, December, January. Therefore, not all those funds could be spent. As I mentioned earlier, in a number of areas, there are a number of tenders that are now being awarded, and we will be finding ourselves contractually in terms of those tenders. In the area of equipment, the mechanical equipment, $11.6 million has been awarded in terms of the tender and will be spent during the next 12 months and has been promoted for two weeks from commission and on stream. These cold storage and freezers will be installed. terms of the refurbishment aspect, as I said, 11 million for those activities, which will depend on the next 6 months. Construction of the new orchard in Exploria will spend over the next 14 months from until August 2008. Overheads, 3.2 million of that needs to be paid to SAPS for work done on behalf of the health department from the start of this grant. The total contractual commitments that we would potentially be entering into is 91.8 million. 52 million of that, 52 million is available in terms of money not spent at the end of the financial year. So the Department of Health therefore foresees a shortage of 39.7 million in terms of this grant to implement the construction activities as indicated here. The construction and improvement costs will obviously be firmed up once the teams are responded to the project indicating the estimates of 11 and 66 million then is the best estimate of the consultant that we supported currently. In conclusion then, Chairperson, the Department of Health is very concerned that any cut in the grant will in fact hamper the construction processes. We have in fact appointed quite a number of staff in this building and the project is now at a stage where we will definitely take over.
Thank you very much. This thing is to show you a clearer picture. I think as the MEC of the office say that once you see it here and you have not seen the disability yet. So I think this is one thing about this discussion of stuff. But I'm also happy with the issue that was raised by the DG for the embassy. I agree with Dr. Ian, just in terms of the allocations for him.
Thank you very much. Achieve that, and if you move on to the waiting mode, and we thought at that time as soon as we received from the National Public Response Party of Health. As far as the other responses are concerned, I've already indicated that the changes have gone up and that we awarded. We already have constructions on site at George, and we will have time handover for Mr. and Paul session plans later in the week. And launch people go on to Tenga. And again, as I indicated, there is a concern with regard to the actual project cost versus what has originally been budgeted for the national norms that we initialized in the business plan. In regard to the vehicle fleet, 22 vehicles were procured in the last financial year, and an additional 14 vehicles have been ordered in the current financial year, as well as those have already been delivered. There has been a constraint in terms of the conversion of these vehicles. Again, we are dealing through an agency arrangement with government motor transport. And we have committed that the $2.5 million will be spent in the current financial year. Human resources have been slow in terms of the number of posts sold. We have committed in the current financial year to 170 posts. Of those, only 141 posts have been sold to date. In terms of the RT of the next financial year, 198 posts will be created in online process of being at the time. The issue with regard to human resources is ensured to the second last slide. What is noted from the actual projection in terms of expenditure, that compensation of employees will be spent on capital are two areas where the expenditure has been not been on target. With regard to the actual compensation of employees for the appointment of personnel, we have had a constant arrangement with the team for 0 to 6 months while we're filling our posts. And we are still awaiting the actual Gold Front and South African Police Service to make the claim of the services rendered by them during those 6 months. So I think just in terms of our business plan for the next financial year, those have been approved by the National Department and have been submitted, as well as the monthly monitoring that is ongoing.
Thank you, madam. There you go. Comments? Questions? Analysis? None. Thank you very much. Okay.
Yeah, just a question. You mentioned the registry about the projection that came by the Holland and its provinces. But I was trying to check and make sure that the clarity on that ground given by the DG does correspond with what is on the news. I did not check that, but I hope it should not be a conflicting situation. Furthermore, the comment I have that I also picked up from the DG is about the late approval of the royal movement. I think somebody must probably see that from the issue. Because I was in my province, so far is not question. I was privileged to be present when the provincial treasurer was appearing before the financial state court. You mentioned the hammer from this thing many times that he is experiencing a problem from the national where a lot of us requests are not considered a time at all. That comes very late. So I think we should get a sense of what is the problem. I think that there is one thing I've got to say, but it does not come very, very, very often from the MGPS and then to be that position here, but I want to come from the TG. Thank you. What?
Yes, thank you. I mean, also, for example, my colleagues are raising the name. Numbers of problems with the problem is what is the problem? Here, in this analogy, we were discussing that
this, he made a scandal as well. Here as if he has not been able to gather this what performance that is. What situation would he be placed at? In fact, that matter is a matter of important to follow up with their problems. I mean, earlier we were saying the changing of business plans midstream is problematic. But also this issue is also problematic. It's a matter that also allows us to must find a way of resolving the financial pressure. Either from, of course, we're not stopping the ministry's engagement. Within Hong Kong, just in terms of those matters. Let the DG and the MC respond.
Thank you very much. On the question of the mortuaries, were they so bad? Let me say that perhaps they were, that was exacerbated by the fact that the decision for the transfer of much of forensic pathology services and the actual implementation
took about 3 years.
And in all 3 years, there wasn't much investment from the DPS on those infrastructure because they were aware they were being handed over. So many of them were deteriorating. And some were okay, but also with I think that should also accompanied by some kind of legislative requirements of how we deal with forensic pathology and mortuary research, which meant that they were going to be renovated in particular way. So that's why we have that kind of situation. But regarding the second question, I think the problem is that various stages of that kind of decision in regards to who remains in the SAPS and who actually comes over in terms of the new arrangement. So there are criteria that have been established and people are given choices and various implementation processes are in place to look at what staff is meaning is being asked off from the SAPS and what staff is not being asked off from the SAPS. So the problem is we'll be able to elaborate on that question. Chair, with regard to the rollover, I'm sure the Honourable Member was asking our colleagues from Central and from ourselves, we just raised the issue that it's kind of change that we see. I don't think I'm really not any questions, Chair.
Maybe I need to start there with the why I'm changing on the consistent application in terms of the engineering. Maybe I've made an example of the 2005 and 2006 application that we had, where we actually requested a certain amount in addition to what we actually had. And when we're supposed to get the amount that you requested, we actually get the twofold or tenfold, which is not necessarily in the clinic. And by the way, we've already responded that thing. We actually get the approval very late. Now, when you've got a lot of money, and you're supposed to spend in 2 months, it's either you're not going to draw the funds up if you actually don't plan properly. Now, we are saying that it is improper because you also want a part of the vaccine calendar. You are expecting to be getting a certain amount and suddenly overnight you're getting a lot of money. You don't even know what you're going to do. Now, you are not even informed. Now, you get applied for the vaccine.
You can look at our investment of page 6 in terms of the presentation, where you see that in 2005 and 6, we were expecting to be having 128 million Now, I'm just saying that we're not involved in the discussion as to what happened and so on. Now, but that also created a problem because it went even beyond that and went to affect the MTF field. Now, which was not meant to be. And also, if you look at the 2006 and 2007, in terms of the allocation, it also does not consistent with what you expect. Now, you would expect 1.1 to get there, 48. Now, it means you are in trouble in terms of your savings. I'm just saying both inconsistencies are actually making it difficult for saving and also for the implementation of the project over the MTS. Now, obviously, further is to take away whatever they want to do, whatever they want. Now, I'm just saying that because those inconsistencies are very much problematic and we need to look at that. On the mutual is, I'm sure PT and FDA for the project because if you look at some of the mutual is, I'll give an example of the polyphasic APS mutual that we had, which was a standalone mutual. Most of them are actually polygons, they are not necessarily forensic mutual. Well, we just hire good in and so on. Now we are building forensic mutuals which are up to standard with the norms are dealing with. Now, some of them you can have even grow. You just need to start there and move on that sort of thing. I'm sure I'll be able to show the
you raised an interesting issue. I'm not sure whether this is really not covered here. For instance, in terms of in the trend that you're talking about, when we're looking at the clause on withholding of allocation, that the transferring national officer, that is clause 25(c), the transferring national officer must 7 working days of such salary that may be opposed by national president prior to withholding an allocation in terms of subsection 1. Give the relevant receiving officer a written notice of the intention to withhold the allocation and 2, an opportunity to submit written representation within those 7 as to why the allocation should not be withheld and inform the relevant provincial treasurer and national treasurer of its intention to withhold the allocation. So clearly, if these things are done without notifying people, then there is a contest. And this is why I think people must forever comply with this book. I mean, it's a Bible, but it's not a book. So clearly, we got to follow these things. Clearly, if all of these things do happen, especially that they have a negative impact on your way, and of course, the kind of business, etc., that must be forwarded. Now, I'm not sure whether Treasury is going to respond on what they were up to respond to, because they also have their issues to deal with today, unfortunately. They are not here to respond to other people. They've got their own things to handle. But it looks like Mr. Brown has some things to say. But let me just share, Mpumalanga, do you have anything to say? And you can give a question before Mr. Brown comes in. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairperson. What I just wanted to add on the issue of the issue that the Honourable Member Daniel was raising is that we have to take into cognizance the fact that we have had most of it being built all over the country. And they were not necessarily built in such a way that they respond to the need as they are on as they are.
in getting the transfer of functionaries from the SATF, we are also facing the challenge of having to redesign the service delivery platform. Some of those are not congruent with, you find that they are, some of them might in fact be in conflict with the kind of training that we are engaging with. And you find that they also do not talk to the population and demand that of service on the ground. That is the main reason why some of the challenges are there. But we cannot deny the fact that proper planning remains at the heart of success for us. Thank you.
Mr.
Chair,
I
have nothing to add at this point.
Chair, as the interest of the actual consideration for the appointment of experts that have all been dealt with, and what you have done is just the first round interviews for advertisements that went out in January of last year, they had the opportunity to apply. So I think that would be more consideration for the interviews made up as such. And I think with that we should have the infrastructure applied into the other products.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, members of the committee, chairman, and Mr. Keith for that. I must talk about the Kuchi Dizu rollovers. But before I get there, one wonderful anti-pathology services itself, I mean, to answer also the function should have shifted around 2001, and the budget council at the time, in any case, felt that quite substantial work need to be done on this, particularly the state in which those mortars are and the state that is in service. And that followed with some kind of a detailed work by, I think it was Nicholas Cliff, who did quite a detailed study on that, and the funding that currently we talk about is on that funding. The services can be built up as quickly as possible. On the rollovers, I think we need to distinguish between national government and provincial government when we talk rollovers. As far as when we collect nationally, at least the department has transferred all of its money over the province. So there's no need in such an instance for the national department to request national treasury for a role. But what national treasury can do, and I think it has done this year, where if there are savings in other areas, you can then add money into the vote and then necessitate a role. That process starts around somewhere in May and concludes in April, in October, when the minister actually tables the medium-term budget. Now, when it comes to provincial rollovers, we need to fully understand what the problem is there, because it will help us if the Department of Health can provide us exactly what the rollovers, when they were tabled, and all of that, because it is criminal in our view if those rollovers are indeed, as the Department says, that they are only being approved in November and sometimes December, when there's no time then to spend on those rollovers. If that is the case, we need to follow that up as a treasury and deal with it in the CCF as well as in the budget council so that we can improve on the efficiency of the system in that particular regard. Because surely there shouldn't be any excuse. This is a conditional grant. If the money has been transferred, which is also another thing, because if the department saw that there's going to be problems, why in the first instance that it is then transferred, that money is going to it should have instituted steps that it was all the money and improve the efficiency of the system within the province. That's not another matter that needs to be dealt with, probably outside of this situation here. Now, if we get that particular information, we will take it up with the provincial treasury as speedily as possible. These are conditional grants, as I've indicated. So what really needs to happen is for April and Richard, they were right in the beginning to say, look here, in any case we don't have say over this money is available to you. If you can prove that you're going to spend it, we need to just speed up the process so that you then spend it. There shouldn't be an excuse when it comes to the watch. But the way the MEC of the Hobo is presenting it, I don't know whether I've missed what you're saying. Because whether we are confusing revisions to baseline with rollovers is another thing. Because if I take the table on page 6, which talks about the yo-yo allocation for the budget in the presentation that was made by the MEC himself, where in 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007, the allocations were 128.9, 128.2, and 159.6. One presumes that was the allocation for the 2004 million term expenditure framework. What then happened in 2005 and 2006, the number that I see there, one presumes, would have been those numbers for the budget, plus a bit of rollover in it. Because if your allocation was about 128, how can you then double it with a rollover? Where would that money come from? There it doesn't make sense. I think it's more like the revisions to those allocations as we move along, combined with a bit of rollover, which shouldn't be that big. Now, if one looks at this trend, this really explains the problem that we have with how the allocation for the grant are being determined, and the yo-yo kind of situation that we're going to see. And this was a bone of contention in any case this year in the budget council itself, where we need to find a way to really streamline how we determine the allocation for this particular kind of conditional grant. So that, in short, there is a problem with rollover that we as treasurers need to deal with, but at the same time, when it comes to the hospital revitalization grant, there is a problem in which how these allocations are being determined and how money is being moved around from one problem to another problem. Actually, when baselines are being revised and one budget is prepared over another budget. So that is that kind of problem. Now, what the budget council agreed to basically here is to say we need to address how these allocations are determined, but at the same time, we also need to revise or review at least how we deal with hospital construction in general for the years ahead, because there's a greater role for provinces to play in hospital construction. These are indeed their facilities, and they shouldn't only rely on national government for funding. Funding needs to also come from provincial coffers, basically, today. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Based on projects, and therefore project funding is dependent on where the possibilities of projects are. You don't want to lock money into a particular project. If, for example, that project is a problem of a dispute, for example, there's a dispute in some legal court, and therefore the project doesn't move. Yet the province, or even within the same province, there's a project that is ready with a business plan and could go, but doesn't have the funding. So you have to have the flexibility to be able to move around within the project, depending on the processes that are taking place there, in order to actually spend that money and get the people to get the service. So, this has been an argument for ages, the rigidities of
budgeting that we know of wouldn't work in a capital budgeting environment. You have to be able to say, out of six projects that are running, four of them are held up in some disputes. Two, and they don't have funding this year. But I can take the funding from the four and move it to the two so that those go while I'm disputing on the other four. Otherwise, then they'll be under expenditure, which is what was happening 4 years ago, because of so many disputes that are taking place there. And that is why, because of that flexibility, you are now having a situation of 85-90% expenditure in this, in this regard. Similarly, with regard to the inter-provincial relationship, if KwaZulu-Natal, because of the capacity problems there, has a projected, under expenditure of 100 million. And in fact, the government in this particular financial year has a similar over expenditure projected because of the faster pace of what is happening with regards to implementation, then nothing should actually prevent us to be able to move that 100 million from KwaZulu-Natal to Limpopo to finish the hospital that is in Limpopo without over expenditure in Limpopo, knowing very well that the whole program will eventually get the KwaZulu-Natal hospital built so that we can be able to deal with it. And that's an agreement that was reached by all of us, the people that are within the health sector. Now, it tells you that when we suggest this thing really, and we discuss them with the various areas concerned, unfortunately, they come around to them very late. I'm glad that the budget council is discussing this issue from different perspectives, not only on the right-to-right basis between province and national, but also just the review of the budgeting process on the capital budget. Because we continue to say that budgeting for capital infrastructure is not possible if you actually keep the rigidity of the NDF and slow them in terms of the project, because there are issues for capital budgeting, especially where you have a very congested terrain, where it is every step of the way. You're now thinking to the stadium, now it's the environment, and no matter what the other thing, will take you to court for if you actually have to follow things. And this happens all the way in construction of these things. And you must be able to be able to say, look, I'm going to be locked up in this court bedroom for a long time, but the hospital P could actually be moving faster, and therefore let's just move that and finish with it. So rather than say, well, this is locked in this particular project, this fund. So we've got money, but unfortunately for this hospital, therefore we're going to underspend on it, because we can't move it to the next hospital to actually move the money where actually it can work. So these are issues, some of the ones that need to be actually discussed with.
Thanks,
Chair.
Sure. Just to respond to what Mr. Brown was actually asking, that where I'm not saying the whole number and the big line. In fact, I actually referred to two challenges that we had in terms of the wide allocation and also the road number. Now, I mentioned it because then we've got a problem in terms of the planning, we've got a problem in terms of the wide allocation, where you are given expected amount in terms of the future festival, something higher, much higher, and taking from them. And I'm sure in terms of the whole budget, in terms of the approval time, so that you are able then to implement whatever project that they are taking. I agree with the DG in terms of the principle that you are taking, that that flexibility in terms of the but then the only problem comes in when the timing becomes consistent. That is where the problem comes in.
Now, if it becomes a issue, I think they are problematic. Thank you.
Well, this is why we said this is a public hearing, or there must be some discussion. But part of the issue that you must also resolve is the National Department in their credibility of conditional terms. Because we also would want to see that clearly, just as you do with the old baggage of the conditional terms. Now, having said that, let's also see the provinces. Well, part of the problem is that the world provinces would not want to come here. So we don't name and shame. This exercise is not about naming and shame. Therefore, don't rush into spending and spending wrongly. I'm raising this because the Eastern Cape Health Department has built 52 clinics. Now, I have come out in that there are no roads leading to those clinics. Now, when the provincial health department was there last week, they say, no, building roads is not our responsibility. But then there are IDPs, surely. You can't then parachute, whether it's clinics, whether it's schools, just follow the show. Without really also talking to municipalities. So that means, when people are in a rush to spend, we are in a rush to ensure that people spend, it's fine. But let them also not rush to spend and just spend outside the framework, the IDPs, etc. I think that's also problematic. That creates a small problem. So I'm saying one of the problems again with those clinics in the Eastern Cape might be that they don't even have water if they are not going to be there. They might have no water, they might not have water, etc. We are excited, of course, that there's dedicated funding now for electricity, for clinics in this division of revenue. Part of the things that maybe DG and your provincial colleagues might want to do is clearly always saying you don't have reliable data on clinics that are not electrified. I think that's the only thing that must then be dealt with now, so that in the first quarter, we must be able to see these clinics electrified now. When GMs appear before, we will be talking to them tomorrow. Let me thank you very much for the useful insights to the discussion that you've given us. We will not detain those that have no international airport. Let me see. They're still traveling to travel an international airport. Otherwise, if we detain them here, they must then connect. But I think Mr. Brown says, let's also pick up this challenge, especially so far as commercial treasures are concerned. But we will also be able to start using them so that you are not compromising your own delivery as a result of some of the administrative processes really that are coming to you. Mr. Brown says, talk to us.
Thank you. I think before the DG of Health leaves, let me just add this point, which is quite an important one, because you raised the thing also with for the Department of Education. When it comes to the bulk infrastructure for water, sanitation, electricity for schools and centers. And our provincial colleagues here might take note of this. This is to bring the service close to the clinic. And within that clinic, there needs to be regulation that needs to take place. So, we alert our provincial president. Provinces must then budget within their health budget, education budget, for the internal regulation of those particular facilities. And we need to just take note of that. My brief here. Oh, you can go, Mr. Miller. People will think I'm the chair, don't keep quiet. Just arrived from France yesterday, so he is so hard. Now Mr. Pudilla is the next person sent to the city, and he's going to basically normally after the budget, we put budget outreach program where we actually go into our community, where we explain the budget basically within our community and play part of that particular program. We will also be part of that program. I was supposed to be actually also be part of that, but because of the meeting we have to so I apologize from Treasury for that. Now what is important with provincial infrastructure is we need to at a technical level see how we can sustain funding, which is an important thing. Now we need to weigh up that vis-a-vis your request Then one needs to also bring to the fore that where were we with provincial infrastructure 3-4 years ago, and where are we today? How have we made up gains over the years? 3 years ago, for example, I think we must have just been spending over 8 billion rand on provincial infrastructure. Now, in this financial year, including all over, we were spending about 18 billion, nearly double, on provincial. And if I'm going to go through the presentation, it will show that even with that doubling of infrastructure spending in provinces, provinces are in a position actually to absorb a lot of those money. Now, the Treasury has embarked on the HIDA program, the Infrastructure Development Improvement Program, and we see that it has yielded quite a bit of success, and the numbers there show. Now, one wants to be very careful when one says, particularly where Mpumalanga comes from and where he is today, to say, let's stop, because the capital grant wants to stop it. You create a problem because industry will then come to a point where it says, hey, you know, we've got our capacity to deliver, now all of a sudden there's no money coming forth, we need to scale down, and what are the chances of sustainability for the industry? So that is an element that comes into play. But also on the other side, we need to respect the NCOC's oversight role, which is very important. What it says for our minister, because we really value the role that the NCOC plays in the oversight role. But if we have a problem that does not conform to the requirements of the NCOC, how do we then deal with it without adversely affecting the system at the end of the day, which is something that we will have to take up at the political level, as I think our minister has also indicated on it. So I'll just run quickly through some of these slides here. The first one is one look at the 21 infrastructure performance in 2005 and 2006. Then we look at 2006 and 2007, because we, for the purposes of the committee, the provincial infrastructure grant is a small contribution to the overall provincial infrastructure funding in provinces. We give, for example, 4 billion, and provinces provide close to about 11 or even 10 billion of that. Now, how we request reporting is on that entire program. And we do that on a quarterly basis. So you will notice what we have here are basically quarterly reports on that up to December 2006. And then we will zoom a bit in the performance of Mpumalanga. On the second page, which is slide number 3, the point that I made, the main appropriation for the provincial infrastructure grant was about 11.9 billion, and adjustments were effected to it, and bringing the entire adjusted appropriation to about 14 billion, of which actual spending was in the order of about 13.03 billion, and underspending of roughly 938 days. Then the infrastructure grant, now there's a link between that table and actually the next table, which is slide number 4, which says what we picked up in this year was that the provinces will be underspending. The performance of the grant was slow. But performance on infrastructure was greater than in previous years, because the budget basically increased from at the time from roughly about 8.5 billion to just over 11.5 billion. So the trajectory of spending was relatively high in 2005 and 2006. But when we looked at spending, we were still not happy as a surgeon that spending is not as fast enough, although it is much higher. And hence, we decided at the time, following DORA process, the Division of Revenue Act process, to withhold 746 million rand. And part of that was about 57 million that we withheld from Mpumalanga there. So the next slide on page 3, 746 million was withheld, and part of those were reallocated. And 57 budget is the narrative of that table there. Now, clearly, with that intervention, we actually also even managed to get provinces to further jack up the act there. So the grant then for 2006 and 2007 increased from about 3.7 billion to 4.1 billion. Actually, when we add the rollover then, it increased to about just under five billion there. So that those were the total allocations that then were made to provinces. Then on page 4, we look at the provincial infrastructure spending trend in aggregate. We see that for this financial year, 2006 and 2007, the budget was 17.5 billion, and there was an adjustment basically there of just over 1 billion. And which took the total adjusted budget to about 18.8 billion in 2006 and 2007. So by September, provinces spent about 38% of their normal budget, of their original budget, or 6.6 billion. But when it got to December, we found that of the 18.8 billion that was available, they had spent about 12.2 billion, or 64.6%. Of available resources. If we look at Mpumalanga, they have spent about 71% of their total infrastructure budget. So hence I'll see that let's not use this as an avenue to deal with the problem that's currently at hand. Because they are really doing well, and we want to actually maintain that trajectory of high spending. Then we look at education spending, where as the quarter ending December 31st, 2006, where the national average spent about 62.6%, Mpumalanga spent 77.8% of their budget. So clearly we see quite a remarkable kind of improvement in spending there. What is actually surprising is what is happening in the Western Cape, where they are actually underspending. Now, if one links this to the money that we were held and reallocated in the previous year, quite a lot of money was allocated to Western Cape education, because they said they were planned to spend, and at the end of the day, so it boils down to that. But if one looks at the picture is not a bad picture for all provinces. But for Mpumalanga, it's quite a rosy picture. Then we put out the loose tape, because I see that it wasn't included in the original. In 2006-07, the annual budget for health infrastructure was 3.8 billion. At that time, say the end of September, they only spent about 1.6 billion of that, or 42.1% of available resources. So the budget was then adjusted up by about another 300 million to about 4.1 billion. And as of the end of December, 2.9 billion has been spent, or at least roughly close to about 69% of the total health infrastructure budget was spent at the end of December. And of that, the great performance are the Gauteng, in the Limpopo, Western Cape, and notably in Mpumalanga. And one can see that in terms of performance-wise, clearly we are winning the battle of spending. But I think what we in the future will have to also do is whether to see whether the spending has resulted in actual clinics in both, in actual schools in both, do we see the difference actually there on the ground? But clearly the picture is quite a good picture there. The next one would be roads and transport there. And I missed the equity presentation earlier, but I think in one of their slides they talk about a real decline in provincial road transport infrastructure. Let us look at some. I think the slide number is slide number 3, where it says that transport no longer prioritized. Despite rapid growth and low underspending over the past 3 years, growth dropped from 11.2% to 2.1% in there. The picture I don't have a year-on-year comparison on this. But our analysis shows that actually road transport infrastructure spending and problems have grown quite rapidly. Even grown at such a rate where we actually talked to, I think it was Limpopo, where one was saying that their budget actually grows way faster at the expense of the budget in health and education infrastructure, and we need to get the balance right on how that structure. But in general, road transport infrastructure continues to be prioritized, and spending in there is quite at 64.8% as at the end of December 2006. And again, the Limpopo, next to Free State, is one of the best, or Free State and North West, one of the best performing provinces. Now the next part, which is key for economic and rural development, is the issue around agriculture. Number one, we look at the size of the budget, which is 640 million that we spend on agriculture, which becomes another, in itself, the totality of the factor for agriculture, you know, if one looks at it that way, becomes a problem. But on the other hand, if you look at the capacity of the sector to absorb infrastructure funds, becomes another problem itself. And I think this is the only area in which Mpumalanga is not doing well. I think they're spending about 33% of their budget at the end of December 2006. So the next two slides basically is the word that I was talking to when I was talking to the table, are basically just summarized there in the next two in work. So to conclude, Honorable Chair, we've come a long way when it comes to the service budget. Our budget has virtually more than doubled and they continue to rise. One thing, for the 2007 and 8 MTF, the provincial infrastructure grant over the next 3 years is going to get about 4.3 billion additional money. So, clearly, the trajectory, and we're expecting provinces to further contribute to provincial infrastructure. So, given the performance of the gains that we've made, we at this stage wouldn't want to advocate for a situation where we must take away money from one province, particularly from another. We may want to, as I've indicated in my introductory remarks, find alternative ways to deal with it. But still, it remains your prerogative, and I must emphasize that should you not then succeed in any case in all other avenues to deal with it, let this then be the last resort in trying to resolve the matter, because we have gained quite substantially on it. So that is basically the brief. Now, on other matters, I mean, we've got three other grants, the restructuring grant for municipalities. That grant will be placed into the local government for the chair at the end of 2007-8. Then we've got the financial management and... I don't have to talk about it. Okay. Yeah. Thanks.
Will the government in the next 2 weeks, in the next 2 weeks, talking to some municipalities in the Eastern Cape when they are reaching that for them? Okay. That's it. Comment. Clarity. Already has nothing to say. Gosh, it's just something young. Alright. Okay.
Yes, just to recap of the ground. The life video of the long road is really every all the part of the tip for the culprit. Tip the tip higher than all other problems.
Okay, let me then say I'm going to ask for Mr. Brown and my legal advisor to come forward, Lesha and Makinda. Come and have a caucus with me now while we break for lunch. Lunch is served here next door. After lunch, we're going to be talking to the previous day. Okay, lunch is set until 2 o'clock. In terms of the program, the GSA must come to. It's a pleasure. Come forward, sir.
Hi, Susan here. Is someone fit to take over from you this afternoon? Oh, they're carrying on with the DBA thing. Yeah. Can you manage? Development Bank of South Africa Finance, SC Finance, and they're interrogating basically looking at this. Yeah, they're breaking now. Okay. Yeah, probably about then. Okay, thanks. Bye.